Well, if you were listening last night on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, you might have thought that I wouldn't have had a ghost of a chance of being on the air tonight. You might have heard my voice squawking out of me like some sort of raven or something. And you may have heard that and quoth, nevermore. However, it is amazing what this zerithromycin, whatever it can do. And yes, in fact, I had lost my voice a little bit yesterday, and I was like thinking about, oh no, this is the ghost to ghost night. This is the big night. This is the chance where the understudy gets to star in 42nd Street. And there was no way I was missing that. And fortunately for tonight too, this is the night when your calls are the stars. You are telling the stories tonight as we go ghost to ghost. Looking for the best ghost stories, true ghost stories. So, you know, it will be incumbent on you to not only be truthful in these recollections, because that's what makes them so much more enjoyable, but also to present the story well. So as we will look forward to getting to so many of your calls coming up tonight, just keep that in mind, that you need to maybe give us the, you know, the zippy version of the story, as opposed to maybe presenting it around the campfire as you usually do, might take on two or three acts. You know, get to the good part soon, as quickly as possible. Introduce as little as you need to introduce, and then get to the meat of it, if there is any meat left on the bones, that is. And we'll all enjoy that, because it is Halloween night. And I've already put up some fun links on my blog in relationship to Halloween, a couple of follow-ups from last week and a couple of fun photos. Please take a look at coasttocoastam.com and link up from there. There are also some very ghostly images waiting for you at coasttocoastam.com. And speaking of ghostly images, we'll start the show off, before we even get to any of your calls yet, with an update on a photo that we had put up before on my blog. In fact, I got to remember, actually, I don't know if I sent it through to the webmasters or not. So I'll go ahead and put that up on my blog right now, too. But a photo about a little girl with a ghostly image of her grandmother overlooking her shoulder. I want to reference back to that story. It's from a few weeks ago. We'll get to that, plus some ghosts of tasty Canadians on the way this hour, as well as all of your calls as we go ghost to ghost AM. This is Ian Punnett. Just making a last-second correction to the blog at coasttocoastam.com, because I got Matt Allen here. He's the late-afternoon drive host, 6 to 9. Matt, is that what you do on WPRO-AM, the Coast to Coast affiliate?
That's it, Ian, absolutely. 6 to 9 p.m. every night, every weeknight.
Okay, so am I interrupting any of your happy Halloween activities? Or
no, actually, it's on the East Coast. It's pretty late, and I'm ecstatic to be able to be here on Ghost to Ghost. This is like a legendary radio show that my whole family, believe it or not, has listened to for many, many years, and I get to be on it, so I'm kind of geeked out right now.
Well, you know, I just want to say, you really enjoy your show. I caught it when I was out on the East Coast not too long ago, and you're such a nice guy that every time I see your picture on the website looking like you're about to kick somebody's butt, I'm thinking, is that the same guy I met? I mean, that guy looks about to fold me in half. And I remember it's like having the nicest conversation with him. So
everybody says that to me. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to put forth an image that really doesn't accurately portray me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could it be the scowl? I don't know. Could it be the excuse me, you're parking in my space kind of look that you have on there? Let me just say, I posted this photo, and I'm going to post it up again because I meant to do it earlier, so I'm doing it right now. This photograph of this little girl, and it's on my blog if people want to catch up to it. I think it'll be up there in a second at coasttocoastam.com. It's the first link. I put up a couple of links, but it's the first link now that I just posted. This is the image of this little girl with her grandmother over her shoulder. Mm-hmm. That was sent to your show. You were the first one to show this to me, and then about a week later I posted it on my blog, and we talked about it during Crypto News. So talk about this. Who sent you this photo? What do you remember about how you got this ghost photo before we start taking calls tonight for Ghost to Ghost.
Well, what happened was this actually came into one of our colleagues in the building where we work, and was kind of spread around the building. And the story that was told to me was that this was a person, a young woman who lived in Rhode Island, who I believe still lives in Rhode Island, and this is her niece. And it's kind of, I say niece, but I think it's kind of like a second cousin type of thing, you know, if you call your older cousin an uncle or aunt because they're older than you type of thing.
Sure.
But
right.
So it's a relative, and she was by herself. I think the little girl was at the time 3 or 4 years old in the picture. And I believe they were just kind of, she was babysitting. It was the middle of the day and just messing around with the camera. It might even be a cell phone picture, to be honest with you. I can't quite remember now, but it was a digital photo of some kind. And the person, there was nobody else in the house with them. They were by themselves, and they took the picture and kind of forgot about it. Now that I'm talking about it, I do recall it being a cell phone.
Right.
And so they took this picture. You know, she kind of just, cell phone just was, you know, closed, and that was it, forgotten about. And then later on, when the cell phone picture was downloaded to a computer, you get to see that picture and that woman's image in the upper left-hand corner there, who, you know, according even to the young lady who took the picture, she's assuming it's an elderly relative of theirs that had passed away, a grandmother, a great-grandmother. But she said because based on the actual clothing there, but because the face is so hidden by the little girl's hair, she can't even be 100% sure of that.
Well, just for people who are just hanging on a second, Matt, just for people who are tuning in, I just double checked it, and yes, you can go catch this photograph right now. If you go to coasttocoastam.com and then click onto my blog, it'll take you to the first link is of this ghostly photo of this little girl and then this grandmotherly image that's up over her shoulder. So go ahead. This is Matt Allen of WPRO AM. Go ahead, Matt.
And you know, just the interesting things about it is that there are, you know, I'm sitting here looking at it on my iPhone, and I can blow it up on the iPhone a little bit and kind of look at it. The eyes have a very remarkable resemblance between the little girl and the grandmother and the grandmotherly figure. And the figure in the background, while it reflects the light source that's in the room, almost seems two-dimensional, like not human. It doesn't have a warmth, the human warmth to it that the little girl does. And you know, we've had some people, some listeners of mine, when I put it up on my Facebook page, they went on there and looked at it, and some of them are very competent in Photoshop and whatnot, and have commented that, you know, if you're going to do something like this, the little girl's wispy blonde hairs that are in front of the old lady's face are extremely difficult to do with any sort of accuracy or any sort of, you know, competency.
Right, because they would be too fine in the Photoshop,
right.
I would think. And I was looking at this too, and there's something interesting that both her eye and then the eye of the grandmotherly image, and that's what this is. This is the face of her grandmother behind her.
That's what they say. It, not so much her grandmother. Almost, I think it might be her great grandmother's.
Or her great mother grandmother. But both of their eyes are focused on the same thing.
Right.
So if it were just a digital fluke, if for some reason some of these pixelations existed and then they came together on this, I mean, I don't even know how that's possible. But if it were just some sort of technical error or programming mistake, there's something that in the cell phone that allowed for these two images to be captured together at the same. What are the odds that they would both be focused in the same way at the same place? You know what I mean? I mean,
you're absolutely right. It's a very bizarre picture, and what's interesting about it, I think, is that the similarity in the eye of the little girl, in the eye of the old lady. Actually, I've had some listeners actually even just kind of speculate that it could actually be an older version of the little girl, kind of a future type of version of the little girl, maybe coming back to visit in some kind of time warp thing. Some people have said that.
Okay, that's because the eyes look identical. It's her of the now, and then her of the future.
Yeah, some people have speculated that.
That's
interesting, but you know,
that's pretty trippy. But whatever it is, it's a cool shot, and I think it's the kind of thing that you look at it and you try to come up with an explanation for how it could have been captured on a cell phone camera that way.
Yeah, right. But you know what they say, but the clothing, the pattern of clothing, I guess, in the background is something that was indicative of the elderly relative, the great grandmother of somebody, and she had passed away, I guess, not too in the distant past, before then, and so they kind of look at this as, I guess, a visit from beyond.
Very interesting. Matt Allen is the late afternoon drive host, 6 to 9 WPRO AM in Providence, Rhode Island. They put up a photo on my blog, coasttocoastam.com. In fact, I may even have the webmasters go ahead and move that photo if they want to capture it from my blog and put it up on the main page for everybody to get a better look at it. Please go ahead. I just, at the last second, happened to put it up. And thank you, Matt, for joining us. And did you ever hear back from the family or from the people that sent that photo in? Was there ever an update from them?
No, you know, I think they did a couple rounds on some of the radio stations that are in my building, and then that was it. They kind of just fell off the map, and I don't know. You know, for lack of knowledge on my end, I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if they went forward and showed this to anybody else in the media. Maybe it was just kind of a weird thing for them, and they weren't really looking for, you know, anything more than a couple of minutes of fun, you know, just showing off to the local media here, because I haven't heard anything from them. I haven't seen anything, you know, them trying to get a reality show out of it or something.
Right. Yeah.
So it leads you even more to the veracity of it, because if they're not looking for anything.
Right.
You know, and what did they get
the gain? They didn't sue you or something for putting up on their website or something. So very good. Well, let me know if you do hear back from them, though, because I'm sure sometime in the future somebody might want to talk to them and see whether or not either that image of the great-grandmother appeared over the little girl's shoulder again or whether they came up with an explanation from that cell phone camera. Either one will be an interesting update. And thank you, Matt Allen, for your time tonight and getting us started on Ghost to Ghost.
It's a privilege, Ian. Thank you.
Good. Look forward to seeing you again when I get out that way again.
I definitely will. And you know what? I'll do a little digging for you. And if I can get a hold of the people that originated the photo, I'll contact you and get your people in touch with them so you can maybe have them on as a guest as well.
Great. Thanks. Say hi to
Thanks,
Paul
Ian.
For me. Okay.
I will. Thank you very much.
It's Ghost to Ghost AM tonight. That's Matt Allen from our Coast to Coast affiliate in Providence. Well, you know, one person who wouldn't be terribly surprised by that story if it turns out to be real is Paul Kimball. Now, Paul is a producer and a writer and let me just ask, Paul, other than co-write, co-direct and co-produce, you also co-host everything you do?
No. And hi, Ian from Canada, from a tasty Canadian. The Ghost Cases series is the only one that I actually have been brave enough to appear in front of the camera. I'm usually quite happy, and so are the viewers to see my work behind the camera.
But in this, Ghost Cases, which just debuted on Canadian television, you are the co-host for this.
Yes.
Okay.
A friend of mine, Holly Stevens, and I co-host the series. Yeah.
So, what was your objective in doing a story on Canadian ghosts?
Well, it's not just Canadian ghosts. Eight of the episodes were filmed in Canada. Five of them we actually filmed in the United Kingdom, in the Cheshire region around Manchester. So it's got a bit of an international flavor. And the idea was to do something a little different. I mean, there's an awful lot of ghost shows out there. Obviously, it's a popular subject. But our idea was to do less of, you know, ghost hunting, as it were, and more of just two people, and they could just be any two people. They could be you or any of your listeners. It just so happens it was Holly and I. She has a science background. I have a history background. And we go out to these places where there are reported ghost stories or hauntings. We interview the witnesses. We talk to them. We get their stories. And then we say, right, all right, let's see if we can have anything happen to us. So it's really very much sort of a doc, and I come from a documentary background. It's a documentary series, and it's also an experiential look at the kind of thing that any of us can do if we find haunted inns or haunted forts or whatever. You know, you can go in and do these sorts of things yourself. We also happen to have the typical tools of the ghost investigating trade, the EMF meters, the digital cameras, the audio recorders, and all of that. So there is the sort of scientific or at least pseudoscientific side.
But
at the end of the day, it comes down to whether we experience anything or not.
And that's sort of like a producer's worst nightmare, is to find out, to kind of leave up the main action of any television show to variables outside of their control, so that either if nothing happens, then they've got nothing to work with. So frequently on these ghost hunter shows, you can see the kind of the emphasis that the ghost hunters put on amping up the suspense for every little twig snap and you know, every raindrop that happens outside. And in effect, it ends up, I think, in a lot of cases, kind of ruining their credibility because nothing happens. They keep whipping the camera around going, what's that? What's that? But it isn't anything. So what was it like for you when you would go to these places where ghostly occurrences had happened before and nothing happened?
In most cases, and I will say there were two where nothing happened. I mean, to us, one in which I'm convinced it was a resident of my old university, actually. I was convinced when I was a student there 20 years ago, and I'm even more convinced now that it's just, you know, sort of legends that have been passed down. And so that just means instead of filming 13 episodes, you wind up filming 14 because obviously it is television, and if you get an episode like that, it's not going to make it to air other than in the sort of season wrap-up where we revisit the best and worst evidence and some of the stories. And that one will make it in there where we say, look, sometimes you go to places that are supposed to be haunted, and you just find out there's a rational explanation for everything, and these things really are just legends. And not every house or place that's supposed to be haunted is haunted. The rest of the time, we actually, you know, that's the nice thing. It's not totally reliant on us. Sometimes I'm a firm believer in the television industry, as I'm sure you'd know, Ian, people will often tell you talking heads are death. You don't want to see talking heads. But I'm a firm believer that when people are telling you compelling and interesting firsthand witness stories, that's good television. That's good anything.
I would disagree with this. I would say talking heads are not death. They're the most fascinating things on television if the talking heads are not actually connected to a body. That I don't think it gets any more interesting than if somebody were doing that. Now, so what did you find? What was the best case as you, Paul Kimball, you know, co-writer, co-producer, co-host of this new series on Canadian television, what was the best evidence that you were able to come up with on your own that substantiated a previous ghost occurrence in a location, and where did it happen?
Probably the best one was the Algonquin Hotel, which is in St. Andrews, New Brunswick, right on the border with Maine. And there's a story there, real short, a bride about 100 years ago who committed suicide after her fiancé stood her up, didn't show up for the wedding. So she went up to room 473 and jumped out the window, you know, fell four floors, and she's dead. And so we were there. We were investigating it. The hotel itself is very much like the hotel in The Shining. It's old and creepy and big like that. And nothing much had really happened. We'd had some EMF kind of fluctuations and stuff. But we do, Holly and I do this segment in every episode we call Spook Hour, where we sit in whatever room's supposed to be haunted and we try and make contact, just the two of us. Nothing had happened there that night either, but every now and then I get a little feisty with the ghosts. And Holly, I was so feisty with this one, I basically asked her out, that Holly felt she had to go back. For whatever reason, we went and packed up the gear. She went back in as if she to sort of apologize to the spirit if there was one there. And just decompress. And we had a DVR camera, a digital video camera, still running in the room. There was nobody else in the room. And Holly went over to look at the monitor. And the DVR camera, I'm not a big believer in orbs. I think until this point, almost any orb that I had ever seen can be explained through non-paranormal means. But I swear, it's in the episode which airs tomorrow, out of the wall in front of Holly, literally the shape forms, and then this orb flies. I'll call it a light anomaly, flies in a straight line, our camera picks it up, right to the window where the bride would have jumped out, and that's weird enough. And then about a second or two later, and there's no one else in the room, Holly still doesn't know to this day why she turned around, she actually turned around and looked as if, and literally following the path this orb took. And so there it is, you know, on video. We showed it to some very experienced ghost investigators in the United Kingdom. They had 30 years between them, and they said it's the weirdest piece of video they'd ever seen. Truly anomalous. They couldn't explain it. And that's the kind of thing that makes me go, hmm.
That's tomorrow night, then, is when that particular episode of Ghost Cases airs?
Yes. Yep.
Tomorrow night. Okay, so here's what I want to ask. Paul Kimball, I want to put you on hold. I want you to hear some of the other stories that we have coming up. So I'm going to put you on hold right now. And then we'll come back to you coming up later on this hour, because I want to hear then about another one of your investigations as part of your series, Ghost Cases, which just debuted on Canadian television. Where we'll be able to see that particular video would be very cool if we could get a link to that for our webpage, maybe coming up for tomorrow night or next week when George Norrie is on. And then also, too, I'd love to get a couple of your stories coming up next. Several people who have been on hold already. For Ghost to Ghost gets underway on Ghost to Ghost AM. This is Ian Punnett. It's Ghost to Ghost AM, and we'll be taking ghost stories all night long on the phones. We'll get to your first few contributions coming up in just a second. We'll also get an update again from Paul Kimball from Canadian television. Ghost Cases is his new show that's just debuting, and he's going to give us another real-life occurrence of what happened to him. If you go to the website at coasttocoastam.com, you'll see that my blog is up. I've got a couple of blogs tonight I've already posted. One was a little Halloween thing with some photos and links. And then I put up that ghost photo from what I was talking about earlier this hour with Matt Allen of WPRO, which is our Coast to Coast affiliate in Providence. And a couple of thousand of you have already clicked on to this this ghostly photo of a little girl with what appears to be her great-grandmother appearing over her shoulder. And it is the kind of creepy ghost photo that no one's been able to quite explain. It looks simple enough, but there's no – it was taken on a cell phone camera. It just doesn't make any sense. And people that Matt had talked to who were experienced with photoshopping say it's really hard to do what's on the image because of the girl's – wispy hair in front of the face of the great grandmother. But while you're there, too, you might want to take a look. I put up a couple other links on the blog. For example, the scariest chew toy that they're selling these days. I bought one for my dog at my favorite pet food shop. They're selling dried esophagus. It's perfect for a vampire dog like mine. But it's dried esophagus. It's just disgusting. But the dogs love it. It's full of glucosamine or something, and it's supposed to be really good for them. But you can see my dog having at it there. And then also, you don't want to look at this one photo. I put it up there. It's the scariest thing that can happen to a homeowner. A friend of mine who just had about 3 inches of raw sewage back up in his basement. It's just, you don't even want to click onto it. Don't click onto it. Or for that matter, the scariest Christmas gift in the Vermont Country Store catalog. You don't want to see that one either. You can't even, I can't believe that they put it in the catalog, but anyway. And then finally, too, I put up a link for something. This one, do click onto. There's a great website called MyParentsWereAwesome.com. And it's photos of people uploading photos of their parents back when their parents were really cool looking. So you got to take a look at it because, especially on a night like Halloween, I saw people coming to the door dressed in outfits that I used to wear seriously. You know, I mean, that's kind of the weird thing about Halloween. People coming to the door tonight dressed like they're in the 80s or 70s. It's like, yeah, that's not a costume. That's my laundry. That's not, but, you know, kids, what can you do? So go take a look if you want to. There's some fun things and some not so fun things to look at coasttocoastam.com. And your calls coming up next. We'll go ghost to ghost with Ian Punnett. Gabrielle is in New Orleans, first time caller line on Ghost to Ghost AM. Hi, Gabrielle.
Hey, Ian. I am so pleased to be your first caller on the first caller line. You there?
Yes. Is this your first call ever to Coast?
It is, but I've tried to call before. I wanted to say I've got a vampire dog, too. She sleeps on the earth of her homeland.
Which is where?
New Orleans.
Okay, New Orleans. Okay.
Anyway, this is an experience I had while I was driving along Highway 29 in North Carolina. It's a road known as the Dragon's Tail. It's a very popular road for recreational bikers because there are about 300 curves within 9 miles. I was coming into North Carolina from the north, and it was fairly late, about 10 p.m. And this is not a populated area. Most of this area is national forest or parkland, and there aren't any houses around this particular part of the Dragon's Tail. So I was trying to get through this very dangerous piece of highway, and I was slowly coming around one of the curves, and I see a guy running along the highway down the mountain in the opposite direction of where I was coming. And he wasn't exactly running. He was kind of bounding, and it looked like there was no weight hitting the pavement. He was barefoot, and he didn't have a jacket on. Now, that was strange because it was the kind of the end of October, and the mountains were getting very, very cold right about then. So I drove past, and he looked at me in a very distracted way. And when he turned his head, he turned it completely to look at me, but it didn't slow down his pace at all. I almost slowed down to ask him if he needed help, but he was just too creepy that I didn't. Not very far ahead, about several more curves up the road, I came upon a gathering of police cars with flashing blue lights, and it looked like there had been an accident. I had to slow down quite a bit, and as I passed, I saw that a biker had had a terrible accident and had fallen on the road. And the guy I saw just a little ways up the road looked very much like the person that was lying on the ground. So I may have been seeing a ghost.
I think that sort of seems like that explanation which we hear from certain ghost experts who say ghosts are the spirits, the confused spirits of people who can't leave this earth, and that if he had had an accident and he was still processing the fact that he was dead, he would have just kept walking on up the road as though he still had a destination to meet, not knowing for sure that he had been killed.
Right, and he was running. He didn't have his bike anymore.
Right.
So he had to run, and he was barefoot. He didn't have a jacket on, so the coldness wasn't bothering him. It was just too weird.
Oh, that's really interesting. And a great way to get us started. Thank you, Gabrielle. Worth getting you through for the first time on Coast to Coast. It's Zell in Washington, Maine. Zell. welcome to Ghost to Ghost.
Happy Halloween.
And to you.
So in the mid-70s to the late 70s, I was living next door to an old wooden inn on the coast of Maine in Owl's Head that my in-laws owned. And it was wintertime. And in the wintertime, they closed up two-thirds of the inn and just lived in the heated third of the inn. And my mother-in-law was upstairs with my four-year-old nephew, Jamie. And Jamie used to play in the spare bedroom with some toys. And Jamie came out of the bedroom crying hysterically, saying, Grammy, that man hit me. And she went in, and there was nobody there, and he was just hysterical. So she went downstairs and waited for people to come home before she'd go back upstairs. The next day, his uncle and I were over doing laundry, and no one else was home. And we used to joke quite frequently about Fred the ghost that lived in the inn. And there'd been other odd little occurrences over the years of noises on the stairs and doors opening, the bells on the back of the door ringing. And we'd always say, oh, it's just Fred. So my husband then hollered up the stairs as we were going in through, Fred, you better not be hitting Jamie anymore.
Right.
And one of the doors upstairs in the bedroom slammed so hard and so loud that we just decided we were going to leave.
How about that?
No wind. All the doors were closed. Wintertime, no windows open, no drafts, no people. Just the door going boom.
Just a ghost having a tantrum. Didn't like to be told what it could do.
No, not at all.
Very interesting. Thank you, Sal. Love that story. And not uncommon, too. You know, it's funny how the door thing becomes a total cliche. You know, people, you know, doors closing, whatever. But if you're in a house where there's no draft and something like that happens, it's fresh. Happened to me once, too, in a house where no windows, no anything, not uneven floors, door shuts. Gets your attention. John is floating somewhere in the San Francisco Bay listening to Ghost to Ghost. Go ahead, John.
Happy Samhain, Minister Punnett.
Oh, very interesting. Yes, and to you. I say happy Halloween back. But so is this something that happened to you? When you say floating in San Francisco Bay, you mean you're in some sort of boat, not floating over the bay yourself right now?
Right. I'm not in cement shoes or anything.
Okay.
Like that.
Go ahead.
My occurrence actually happened at my old house. I was in my old bedroom at my parents' house, sleeping, sort of face down in the bed, and I felt a presence behind me very early in the morning. I sort of turned over my right shoulder to look, and I saw a sort of glowing old man just standing by the doorway. And I was sort of surprised, but, you know, I'd seen dozens of ghosts and things sort of breaking through reality in various ways, so what might have paralyzed someone with terror sort of didn't really shock me very much. But then I sort of found myself, after sort of looking him in the eyes, lying back down again on my face, right in the same bed, only the presence felt closer. And this sort of discontinuity sort of jarred me a little bit, so I looked again, and the same old man was there. A bald old man was looking at me, only this time he was a couple steps closer. And as soon as I acknowledged that, boom, I was back face down in my bed again. Only this time, he felt a little bit closer. And I turned and looked, and he was there, only this time a couple steps closer. And as soon as I acknowledged that, the same thing happened again. It was like I was waking up again and again, the same dream. Until finally, when I looked and turned, and it was as though I could only feel him and couldn't even feel the bed below me. But he was standing right next to me, and then he just sort of faded away. And my room sort of kind of reappeared. And that time I was really awake and just went about my day.
You know, there's a word for that, and I learned it tonight because there's a link on our webpage at coasttocoastam.com about a story. Scientists are working on, you know, all the time trying to understand the fascination with ghosts and as it pertains to sleep paralysis. And that experience that of which you speak ties directly into the research that they were doing on this in this story that we've linked up, because they say that, I think they refer to that period as hypnopompic, that time that you're coming out of REM sleep, and that you can be caught in a phase of sleep paralysis, that you feel awake but your body is still asleep, your mind is still asleep essentially, but you feel awake. And that you're coming in and out of that lucidity so seamlessly that you don't realize what you're seeing is actually being generated by your own brain as opposed to an external experience. That having been said, I just want you to – that's what they said in this article. Tell me why that would make sense to you or not make sense to you based on the experience you had.
It both makes sense and also doesn't make sense. To start off, it makes sense to me because I've had other experiences where I've been caught in a sleep paralysis sort of state. Okay. And have been had other mystical experiences that way in other realities, even been, you know, at, like sort of forced out of my body or forced into another realm entirely.
Right.
It doesn't make sense because in this particular instance, because later while flipping through the television stations, I found a little program called Famous Ghosts of California by the History Channel, and the ghost that I saw was one of the five most famous ghosts of California.
Okay, fair enough. That's very interesting. And your dream predated, you know, pre-experienced what you saw on television.
Correct, by years.
Very good. John, thank you. That was great and very interesting. And this is just how Ghost to Ghost will go all night long. I hope that Paul Kimball has been monitoring this back in the earlier in the hour, we talked to Paul, who's the co-host and co-writer and co-producer of this series that's running on Canadian television called Ghost Cases. Paul, you've been comparing some of these stories with some of the things that you experienced. What do you hear so far?
Well, the one about the door is interesting because, as you say, it's a bit of a cliche in the horror film kind of thing, that, you know, the door and always sort of
right. Closes.
That actually happened to me in the episode that we aired, the network aired. I don't own a network yet.
Yeah.
That they aired last week, which is actually up, if you go to your front page on Coast to Coast and follow the link, it goes to our blog.
And
we have that episode up on the blog, so you can watch it. And what happened is, it was very odd. Holly was upstairs. It was a haunted farmhouse. Holly was upstairs with a psychic, and they were trying to contact the spirit. And everything's game for us. We'll use anything from EMF meters to psychics, you know, anything to try and see what's going on. I was downstairs in the basement, which is supposedly haunted, all by myself. And there's this back and forth, and I could hear them through the walls, and they were saying, you know, there's a dead baby in the basement. There's a dead baby in the basement. Well, Paul's down there. Go down and say hello and show him where the baby's buried. And in fact, people have told me it's quite funny because I'm a coward and I'm in the basement going, I don't want you to show me the baby. Don't come down here. And just as that happens, and I can tell you, I was there. There's no wind. There was nothing. The door. I had been there half an hour. Nothing had happened to the door. The door behind me, as I'm sitting on the stairs of the basement, goes and opens. And just as they were upstairs saying, "Go down and show Paul where the baby is," and I have to tell you, there's probably about 20 things in my life over the 42 years I've been lucky enough to live that have really truly freaked me out or scared me, and that was one of them.
How about that?
Yeah,
I think that would qualify.
Yeah, it's just, and I'm sure, you know, I'm a skeptic. I really am. I'm an agnostic on all this. And the part of me that's a skeptical, logical person says, well, I'm sure there must be some logical explanation for that. I went out. I thought the crew was playing a practical joke on me, frankly.
Right.
The thing about the farmhouse door was it wedged in to close the basement door. It was hard to open. So even if there had been a breeze, it would have had to be a pretty stiff one. And there was nothing. I had heard the breezes earlier in that evening. It was still as the grave, as they say, outside. And that one really freaked me out, especially given the timing of what was going on upstairs at the same time as I'm downstairs and then this happened. So that story that I heard about, you know, any time I hear about doors opening, that resonates with me now.
Again, you can link up to that episode then at coasttocoastam.com to Ghost Cases. This was the episode for the new Canadian television series that just aired last week. Paul Kimball is the co-host of the show and the co-investigator of these ghost stories. Is there a difference between, say, Canadian ghosts and ghosts from the United States? Are American ghosts the same as Canadian ghosts? Canadian ghosts, are they more sarcastic than American ghosts? Is there anything you've seen, or any difference in the character of the stories at all?
I think more Canadian ghosts probably speak French. but other than that, no. I mean, ghost stories. The people ask me. They say, because I've done a number of documentaries about UFOs and stuff. And people say, well, what are ghost investigating like compared to UFO stories? And I go, it's all about the search for us trying to find something. With UFOs, it's like, is there life out there, perhaps? But ghosts are the most existential of the whole lot because it says to us, is there life for us personally beyond what we have right here? And the stories that you hear across the world when we were in the United Kingdom or the United States or in Canada, there's a stunning similarity between them, and I don't think there's any real difference. Obviously, if you're in a place in Alabama and you're in Ontario or you're in Scotland, there's regional differences, but the crux of the stories remain the same. And there's certain characteristics that you can break down and say, okay, this is what's happening here. And it, as you said in, I think, an earlier segment, I heard you say it with one of your callers, it often seems tied to some traumatic event. So that seems to be a common theme, too.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, we'll be following that. And I hope that when we can see that episode about the orb, because we won't be getting ghost cases down here in the United States, at least for a while. Will you put up a link on that page, too, and let us know so that we can let people see that? Because that would be really cool.
I will indeed. After it airs tomorrow and the network doesn't get mad at me for putting it up, I will make sure that
okay, good.
Up there and everybody can see it at our blog.
Oh, very good. And then I'll send a note to the webmasters and make sure that they put that up so that people can see it on our webpage. Thank you so much. Paul, enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for getting us started. And everybody else, hang on. The phones are filling up for Ghost to Ghost. your ghost stories for the rest of this night all across North America and beyond. What life is out there? What life exists in here somewhere deeply buried in a soul that doesn't want to let go of this earth? On Ghost to Ghost, this is Ian Punnett.